Hi, this is Daniel Garden-Louise for CulturalMoney.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. This week, I'm looking at three potential Oscar contenders opening this weekend. There's a writer in Paris attending a trial, a bureaucrat in London whose life is a trial, and a dad dealing with the trials and tribulations of a mentally ill son. Saint-Omer, written and directed by Alice Diop. It's the early 2000s in a Parisian suburb. Laurence Colli, played by Guslagi Malanda, is on trial for murder. She admits to leaving an infant on a beach to be washed away with the tides one moonlit night. But why she did it is not so simple. She's a Senegalese-French woman from Dakar who's in Paris as a student. She's beautiful, articulate, poised, and intelligent. Not your usual murder suspect. As her mother, played by Salimata Kamate, told her, education and politesse are the two most important traits. But after a series of events, she ends up living in a small apartment as a gray-haired married man's mistress, no longer in university, with no friends, no job, or future, and virtually no one knows she's pregnant, nor that she gives birth at home. She exists in a strange limbo world. All of this is taken in by Rama, played by Kaije Kagame, a novelist and university professor in Paris. She's following the trial in person for a new book she's writing about Medea. She's also a French intellectual, a black woman of West African background. And more than that, she's also estranged from her mother and is in her first trimester of pregnancy. So in a sea of white faces in the courtroom, she feels both a connection to and a revulsion towards Laurence. Could this be me on trial, she wonders? And will I be a fit mother? Saint-Omer is a devastatingly powerful courtroom drama as seen through an observer's eyes. It's the opposite of a typical Law and Order episode. There's no smoking guns here or plot twists or objection. Rather, it's Laurence retelling of her story before judge and jury and the reactions of Rama that carry all the power in this film. It's intentionally filled with subtle ambiguity, so you're never quite sure whether she's lying or being coached to do so, or if she's completely sincere or somewhere in between. With almost all the major players, including the judge and the defense counsel, are women, it strips away a lot of previously held misconceptions. The acting by actress Malanda as Laurence and artist performer Kagame as Rama is superb, and the filmmaking amazing. This is documentary filmmaker Alice Diop's first drama. Somehow, she managed to take the drab wooden panels of a classroom and a courtroom and turn them into something pulsing with emotion. This is a great movie. The Sun, written and directed by Florian Zeller, based on his play. Beth and Peter, played by Vanessa Kirby and Hugh Jackman, are a newly married upper-middle-class couple with a new baby. All is going well until they get an unexpected knock on the door. His teenage son, Nicholas, played by Zen McGrath, says he can't take living with his mom anymore, played by Laura Dern, who's a full-time nurse whom Peter divorced and abandoned a few years earlier. What a dilemma. He can't turn away his own flesh and blood, can he? But Nicholas is difficult to deal with. It seems he stopped going to school months ago without telling his parents. And Beth finds him scary. What if he does something to our baby? How can I trust him? So eventually they check him into a psych ward without his consent. But what can they do in the long run with this troublesome teen? The Son is an overwrought melodrama about divorced parents forced to care for their troubled son. It deals with anguish, anger, and regret, but only for the parents' perspective. Never from the son's. This could be called the father, not the son. He's just a pain in the ass and possibly a threat. This movie falls in that horrible subgenre of sympathetic parents forced to deal with sons who selfishly choose to become drug addicts or mentally ill. How dare they? Despite what the parents try, these bad sons are criminals and liars at heart who can never be trusted. This dreadful collection of never-watched movies also includes Beautiful Boy with Timothy Chalamet and Ben Is Back starring Julie Roberts and Lucas Hedges. This one has equal star power and is just as hard to watch. It's especially disappointing because French director Florian Zeller's follow-up to The Father a few years back, which is about an elderly man slipping into dementia, played by Anthony Hopkins, who also appears in this film, as its unreliable narrator. It's innovative. It's a different movie. But don't be fooled. The Son has no redeeming features and is truly one of the worst movies of 2022. Living, written and directed by Oliver Hermanus. It's London in the 1950s. Williams, played by Bill Nighy, is a mundane municipal bureaucrat, the head of a public works, at County Hall. He spends most of his time at his desk, along with his subordinates, Rusbridge, Middleton, and Hart, keeping busy by ignoring the piles of files and requests that come in. Whenever troublesome locals appear, like a group of mothers requesting that they build a tiny playground in a vacant lot, they're quickly disposed of by sending them to another department in the endless bureaucratic labyrinth of City Hall. The newly hired Wakeling is quickly discouraged from working too hard. An empty inbox means you're doing something wrong. The soul woman, Margaret, played by Amy Lou Wood, is thinking of quitting to take a managerial job at a local restaurant, but she does need a letter of recommendation from her boss. Ever since his wife died, William, nicknamed Zombie, has lived a humdrum existence, sharing his home with his adult son and daughter-in-law. But everything changes one day when his doctor brings him terrible news. Incurable cancer, 6 months left to live. Suddenly, everything takes on new meaning as he decides to start enjoying his life and making things better for others. But is it too late? Living is a period drama about life in post-war London. It captures that spark that could be reawakened in even the most humdrum person's existence. It follows the night he spends in the demi-monde led by an alcoholic bohemian he meets in a cafe, and a few days spent helping Margaret for a chance at sharing in her youth and vitality and also giving her a hand. I approach this movie with great trepidation because it's a remake of Kurosawa's Ikiru, which is one of my favorite movies of all times and one I didn't want to see ruined. Happily, this is a wonderful film in its own right. Maybe only a writer like UK novelist Kazuo Ishiguro, who wrote the script, could transport it from Tokyo to London while staying completely true to its original meaning and structure, even while giving this very Japanese film a distinctly English feel. Bill Nighy, who usually plays silly characters in crap movies, is wonderfully understated in this one. And South African director Oliver Hermanus, who brought us The Great Mafia a few years back, again puts his all into the film he's making. I recommend this movie highly. Living, Saint-Omer, and The Son all open this weekend in Toronto, with the latter two playing now at the TIFF Bell Lightbox. Check your local listings. This is Daniel Garb of the Movies each Saturday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.